This is the Impactful Wisdom Podcast, helpful strategies for a successful dental career. Brought to you by the campus team of Heartland Dental. Now, here are your hosts, Kathy Tellis, Vincent Battles, and Amanda Rockland.
Hello, listeners. We're here. Kathy, Amanda, how's it going?
It's going so great. Oh man, I'm so excited to jumpstart today's episode, but kind of sad in the meantime as well. Amanda, do you want to share why we're sad?
Sure. So I have big news to share with our listeners. Bittersweet, but this will be my last episode with you guys. I'm taking a step away. I've had an opportunity come up within Heartland Dental, so I'm sticking around, but my position and role is different, and it's something I couldn't turn away. So I had to make a very difficult decision to step away from the podcast in order to pursue that opportunity.
Awesome. Congratulations, Amanda. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What are you looking forward to most in your new role?
What I'm looking forward to most in this new role is the opportunity to continue to learn and grow in my profession. Everyone has their own journey, so I'm really excited that an opportunity became available where I would, you know, get to learn and grow and become better at what I do. And I think any career, dentistry, whether you're a hygienist, a dental assistant, you know, one of our business assistants that work at the front desk, you know, or hygienist, there's always room for growth and to better yourself. And when there's an opportunity that comes along where you have the ability to do that, you need to take it.
Totally. And one of the things that's what I absolutely love about Heartland Dental is that you don't have to be in your role forever. You can actually move up anywhere throughout the company. And that's empowering for somebody who feels like, you know what, I do want to grow. And even though this is a spot that I'm in right now, there's opportunity for growth elsewhere. So I love that. I'm sad that we're not going to have you banter with us and do episodes with us any longer, Amanda, but I'm so happy and so proud of you and taking that step to building your future.
Thank you.
If I can just add, you have been a huge part of this team, you know, the pioneer of really bringing this to where we are now. So thank you. I mean, a lot of work has gone into Impactful Wisdom Podcast. You were the one who developed the name. So I'm going to miss you. I definitely am, but I definitely wish you the best. I know you're going to do well. You've done well with our team. So I know you're going to do even better things. So thank you, Amanda, for all your hard work with this podcast and our team as well.
100%.
Oh, thank you, Vincent. Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
I'm definitely sad that I'm not going to be part of the team and part of the podcast. It's definitely been a big highlight of the things that I've done so far at Heartland, for sure. So I'm really excited, but again, it's not goodbye. It's always see you later. And I hope to come back on as a guest in a future episode. So
absolutely, you will.
Anytime. You know where I am. So it's definitely not goodbye. It's definitely a see you later. And with that being said, I'm really, really excited to introduce this episode with our very first guest host, Ashley DeMond, who will be talking about technology and dentistry with Dr. Jason Thibodeau and hygienist Mary Jo Collins. And in addition to all that, she's actually going to also answer questions from our listeners. So I'm really excited to take a listen to this episode and hear your thoughts.
Thanks, Amanda. Thanks for pioneering, as Vincent said, the podcast. I'm really looking forward to this opportunity and speaking with Dr. Thibodeau and Mary Jo. I think it'll be good. And answering student questions, I think that's what students want from a podcast. I mean, even though they're not, it's not a live podcast with them, but having questions answered, I think, is going to be really beneficial to the listeners.
Well, hello. Welcome, Ashley.
Thanks.
Guest host, our very first guest host. We're so excited to have you on board.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited.
So
podcast sounds so fancy. So I was like really excited to say, I'm going to be a guest host on a podcast. But yeah, I was really excited.
Well, I appreciate you being here, stopping by. So can you tell the listeners who you are, your background or something like that?
Sure.
You know, something that they would know, I need to know. Not need to know, but they would like to know.
Sure, of course. As Amanda mentioned, my name is Ashley DeMond, and I have been with Heartland Dental. My 3-year anniversary is coming up in July, and I'm in Kansas City, born and raised in Kansas City, and throughout my career have worked with students in some sort of capacity. So I've been on both the higher ed side. I started my career with working with students and helping them find a good job. You know, first job isn't always going to be the perfect job, but helping students find that job. So career counseling, and worked with undergrad students and MBA students. And then I've also worked on the corporate side. Before Heartland Dental, I worked for a large employer, the largest employer in Kansas City at the time. And then I've also worked for a healthcare technology firm in Kansas City that's specialized in behavioral and mental health software. And so what I love about, and I've always been drawn back to campus recruiting with my other employers, I thought, well, maybe I want to try doing something a little different in HR. Always come back to campus recruiting. And I just really enjoy helping students find their path. And if it's not with the company that I'm with, hopefully I'm helping them with that career prep, whether it's interviewing or resumes or networking. I just really enjoy it. I feel like students, myself included, you don't know what you don't know until someone helps you out. So I think that's what I find so fulfilling about working with students that are pursuing a certain career path and helping them hopefully be prepared to pursue that career path.
Very good. Thank you. And again, welcome. Welcome, 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 Ashley.
Thanks. Thank you, Vincent. I'm excited.
So let's listen to Dr. Thibodeau and Mary Jo as you interview them through technology and dentistry. Let's take a listen.
Welcome to Impactful Wisdom. I'm excited to have Dr. Jason Thibodeau and his hygienist, Mary Jo, with us today. I'm Ashley DeMond, and we're going to get talking about technology in dentistry. And I invited both Dr. Thibodeau and Mary Jo today to hear about their backgrounds, how they came to be in dentistry, and also how technology is impacting them in their practice and with their patients. So we also recently asked students to submit questions, and I'm going to pepper some of those in today for Dr. and Mary Jo and get their take on questions that students have submitted. So we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome to both of you. Excited to have you both. And Dr. Thibodeau, I'm going to start with you first, and I'd love for you to share a little bit about your background and what prompted your interest in dentistry.
Thanks, Ashley. I'm excited to be here, and I'm particularly thrilled that we're talking about technology because I graduated in 2014. I graduated from A.T. Steele University in Arizona in a class of 75 people. I was the only person who did not have a smartphone. So I graduated dental school in 2014 with a dumb phone.
Oh, doctor, that's okay.
Yeah, so my excuse was that I'm smart enough and I don't need a smartphone. So I was the last person in my class, no doubt, to adopt technology in my life. And now I use it every single day. I cannot do without technology in my dental office. There are plenty of days where I could do without my cell phone, granted, where I'd like to do without my cell phone, but technology is a part of my daily life and it lends itself to being able to take the best care of patients possible. Again, just a little bit about myself, first generation dentist. I went to school in Mesa, Arizona, fantastic school, made a lot of lifelong friends there, a few of whom I still keep in touch with pretty much on a weekly basis. But I chose dentistry because I really believed in dentistry. I didn't smile a whole lot in high school. You won't find a picture of me smiling with my mouth open, that's for sure. And when I graduated high school and got a job and was able to pay for my own braces, it really changed my life. It changed me from the inside out, really. I started to recognize the value of being able to smile without fear. And it really just impacted my life to such an extent that I thought, you know, I really believe in this smile thing. And if I can be a part of that, if I can pass that on to someone else, then that's what I'm going to pursue. So here I am today, happy to be a dentist, loving what I do and loving that I'm doing it for Heartland Dental.
Thank you, doctor. I love that story. I think that's just so interesting how your smile and how that's impacted you and now how you're helping others. I think that's great. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Mary Jo, I'm going to turn it over to you and would love to hear about your background and how you came into the dental hygiene profession and dentistry itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So graduated high school, didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life at a mere 18 years old. And so I started just taking just random classes at the community college, got married to my high school sweetheart. We had a baby girl, and I saw an ad on television for dental assisting while I was staying home with her and thought that sounded pretty cool. So I applied to the ad and basically did some on-the-job training. I was making $5 an hour as a newbie dental assistant. Yeah, and I was just excited that I got the job and fell in love with the field, started asking the dental hygienist what I needed to do what she was doing. She told me, and so I continued to work there full time and took the classes that I needed to take in the evenings and on the weekend, and then applied to hygiene school. We saved our pennies and then basically quit work while I went to hygiene school for the next several years. And so I love helping people. I love getting to know people. Nursing in big hospitals was a little overwhelming for me. And so the idea that I could kind of do the same thing health-wise in a smaller environment and get to know people on a little bit more intimate relationship just really worked for me. And it has just been perfect. It was what I was supposed to do.
It's great when you find what you're supposed to do. It's a good feeling and being able to give back too, like you were mentioning, helping people. I hear all the time that that's what draws people to this profession. So thanks, Mary Jo. Thanks for sharing. So also curious from both of you, how did you find Heartland Dental? What brought you to Heartland Dental? And love to hear from both of you.
Yeah, I love answering this question and you both already hit it. It's great to find what you love to do. And a big part of that puzzle is not only finding what you love to do, but finding where to do it. And for me, I just wanted to find a place where it felt good to be a dentist, felt good to practice dentistry. I practiced for 3 years after dental school in a variety of settings, and I just didn't fit. I was trying to find the place that had a mission and had values that were congruent with my own. And that's how I came across Heartland. I practiced in the community health center. I practiced in private practice and a small DSO in Southwest Louisiana. And I finally circled back around after 3 years to meet up with a dentist that I had practiced with my very first job after dental school. And at that time, by that time, he was working for Heartland Dental. And he said, Jason, you just got to see what Heartland's all about. And you got to see how it has positively impacted our culture in our office. So please come back. Please give it a try. And I'm so glad that I did, because that was my happy spot. I found that I was working for in a great office, and I was working ultimately for an organization who cared for me to be successful and happy dentist. And I celebrated my 5-year anniversary this past April. 5 years has gone by so fast, honestly, and I've done more dentistry that I'm just so proud of in the last 5 years. And really, the prospect of just continuing to get better at being a dentist and a leader is still out there. It's still what I'm reaching for every day. So I'm looking forward to every single day ahead. It's a great feeling to wake up and to come to work and not just to be a dentist, but to be practicing in a place that feels good.
That's great. That's great. Mary Jo, what about you? What brought you to Heartland Dental?
So I moved here almost 2 years ago from Dallas. And so I've been practicing hygiene close to 20 years in Dallas, and I worked primarily private practice. So when I moved to Arkansas and I was starting to look for a job, I pulled up an ad for a hygienist, and it was here. And so I was a little bit reluctant at first because I am a creature of habit. And so I want to continue to do what I've always been doing. But I had an open mind and I went ahead and came to the interview and realized that Heartland had all of the same thoughts, ethics, integrity that all the past offices that I'd worked at, private practice. And so I was really surprised. Mm-hmm. I was excited. I loved everybody at the office and realized that it was a good fit for me. So it was a really big change for me, but in a really good, positive way. I love the staff here and the patients here are absolutely incredible. I have just almost in my whole career enjoyed meeting the patients here more than any other place. They're very gracious, they're very thoughtful, and they're very authentic.
Hey, great answer. I'm feeling good about myself now.
As you should.
Pat yourself on the back, Dr. T. Yeah.
As you should. Mary Jo, you bring up a good point too. You know, I think when people hear DSO or corporate dentistry, they don't think it's going to have that same feel as private practice does. And so to hear you say that, it's so good to hear that you have that feeling. And I just like when that resonates with doctors, with hygienists, with team members. It's nice to hear that because I think that's one of those things that an assumption that people make.
Absolutely. And I really even think in some ways, in quite a few ways, it's actually better being on the other side now.
That's great. No, I love to hear that too. I love to hear that too. So wanted to ask you both, how did you become interested in electronic digitalized dentistry? It's, you know, it's a hot topic. It's something that when students submitted questions to us, we had quite a few, and which is why we wanted to do an episode dedicated to this. So was curious, both of you, how that has become an interest of yours while practicing.
This is another question that I absolutely love to answer, and I'll relate it back to my dumb phone experience. I just didn't know how I would adopt technology into my life. To go from a phone with very narrow capability to something with such a broad capability, I just didn't know how I was going to use that phone, okay? And that'll be the baseline of comparison. And once I saw that my phone could connect me to the people that I love and help me do the thing, make my life more efficient and convenient, then it made perfect sense that I would take that same idea into my dental office. And once I decided how I really wanted to practice dentistry, once I decided my values, adopting technology was a no-brainer because the things that we use in our office help us to connect with our patients. It's really super fundamental. We use them as education tools. What a great way to gain the trust of our patients when we're using these things on a daily basis to really just relate to our patients. And yesterday I had a patient that said, wow, technology is just amazing. All we did was use an intraoral camera to take photos of his teeth. And that alone, which is one of the simplest pieces of technology in the office, that alone was enough for him to be impressed. And for it was a springboard for a great conversation about his dental health and for treatment. So we use it every day. Can't do without it. I know I said that earlier, and it was easy to decide that these technology was going to be an instrument to take the best care of patients possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I was telling Dr. Thibodeau the other day, I remember when I was working at a dentist office and I was still in assistant mode and they had purchased an intraoral camera and we had computers at the front office, but there were not computers at every operatory or treatment room yet. And so we were super excited to get this intraoral camera that rolled around on a cart with the monitor. And so everyone in the office shared it. And we just thought it was absolutely amazing. And it was. And then that course graduated into digital x-rays and things of that nature. And of course, in my young mind, I was thinking this is awesome because it's just going to make me more efficient. And that is my middle name, apparently, is efficient. And so I've been told many times. And so I just thought it was going to make me more efficient. What I didn't realize, I guess, until I really started using it, was that how much it was going to help on the patient side. Seeing is believing. That we were past that point in dentistry to where We were just there to throw out this diagnosis and this information, and they were just supposed to trust what we were saying, you know, and hopefully they do trust us, but at the same time, seeing's believing. And so to be able to throw up an intraoral photo and an x-ray of the same tooth and to say, this is what we're seeing, just look in your mouth and this is what it looks like on an x-ray. I mean, there's nothing better to help us on the clinical side, but also help the patient basically in lay terms see what we're seeing.
I got to piggyback on those comments because we're getting into really technically how we use technology in the office. And we have a workflow that is just the rhythm of the technology is awesome. Just to list a few things that we have in the office for those of sitting on the edge of their seat going, what are they talking about? We're talking about intraoral camera. Absolutely. We're talking about laser. We're talking about iTero scanner. Just to name a few of those that we use every single day. And of course, digital x-rays. If you don't have digital x-rays in your office, maybe you're working in an office that should be on display as a museum because digital x-rays are the way to go these days. The way that we use these tools is for early detection of pathology. It's valuable to us to provide the best long-term care for patients. Digital x-rays, critical. You can see so many stages of development of lesions, for example, just good old-fashioned cavities. You can see them when they're brand newborn. It's not a privilege that we enjoyed with the old-fashioned x-rays. So when we can identify disease early, then we can have the best possible effect on taking care of that disease. When we can show patients pictures of their mouth, they can be involved in the decisions that we make for them, which is a huge part of patients being accountable for the decisions of their own health. Intraoral pictures are simply invaluable. I heard once at a class that I took, it was very well said, x-rays are for clinicians, intraoral photos are for patients. How easy it's been for the protocol of dentists to show patients x-rays, and those are hard to understand. We get patients shaking their head and nodding as if they understand, but they really don't. They're looking at many shades of gray, black and white. When you show them a picture of their mouth and you tell them how we're going to take care of these conditions, absolutely invaluable. The same goes for the iTero scanner, that we could have a whole other series of podcasts on the iTero scanner and its capabilities alone. But being able to show the patient the conditions in their mouth and show them a time lapse, for example, from 1 year to the next, comparing scans, show them the rate of change of conditions in their mouth. Those things always lend themselves to case acceptance. And ultimately, that's what we want, because the goal is that we're taking care of these patients. We're identifying disease early and taking care of it. It gives us the best possible long-term outcomes.
You both brought so many good points up. I've got all these questions swimming in my head that I'm like, oh, I've got to ask them this. But to your point, one thing that is on my mind as a patient and also hearing both of you answer that question is how it's affected your relationship with your patients. And doctor, you mentioned it right there. I think that that's something that if you can explain it to them, if they can see it, if they can not just nod thinking that they kind of understand, but you can show it to them, it's got to be so much more beneficial for them and for you all too, as, you know, providing that care for them. So I'm glad you brought that up. That was a question that was on the top of my mind to ask you both, how it's affected that relationship with your patients.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredibly rewarding and at the same time scary for an adult patient to say, wow, I have never seen that in my own mouth. So to be the dentist that shows them these conditions and shows them these images and uses this technology in a way that they've never seen before. But we love for patients to say that. At the same time, we're thinking, if only we had this capability many, many years ago, we could have derailed all of this decline of dental health. We could have prevented disease. And I think that it's just critical, as I know that students will be a large part of our audience for this podcast. I feel strongly that education in dental schools is starting to wrap itself around the use of technology in dental offices. And it's fantastic that dental students are learning how to use this stuff before they graduate, because it's just such an important part of what we do every day.
Such a great point. And that was actually one of our student questions. And the question came in from a few different students, but all kind of the same premise is how you're incorporating it into caring for your patients. And lasers tend to show up in quite a few questions, and the Velloscope for oral cancer screening. So would you both mind elaborating on those just a little bit? They were at the top of mind of student questions that were submitted.
Absolutely. I think that I'm going to pass this one off to Mary Jo, I know, because she certainly uses laser as a hygienist. It's one of those things, of course, that's just the bread and butter of dentistry is our patient flow through our hygiene department. And lasers, if I don't see that laser fired up for hygiene every day, I'm wondering what's going on. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The laser is just absolutely fantastic. We use it for many different procedures. We use it during our periodontal therapies, our gingivitis scaling. We can use it in addition for aphthous ulcers, for sensitivity on root surfaces. So I think it is very valuable on our side, along on the dental side, for dental procedures as well. I really don't know how dentist offices today don't not have a laser in their office, kind of like with the digital x-ray situation. And then the Velloscope, what an incredible tool. I tell my patients all the time that we can look in there with our naked eye, our human eye, and see whatever we can see and hope that everything looks good. But what an amazing thing to have a device that shows us further than what our own eyes can see. Catch something that could be horrific and deadly way before it becomes a problem that we can see, which is usually to a point where they're in some trouble at that point where we can see it. So patients really like it. And I'm actually quite surprised about how many patients I have in my chair that know someone that has had oral cancer. It runs in their family, a friend, someone. And so they're very happy to have that done for them because they do know people, you know, that have had it.
And we find that patients will ask for it. Those patients that ask for it are those that have a friend or relative that have some experience with oral cancer.
Yeah.
And so they're looking for an office that has a Velloscope.
And that's wonderful that you're able to offer that to your patients too. That's a really great thing to be able to put them at ease by being able to provide that for them. So I think that's great that you have that capability. I had another student question that came in, and I'm sure this is on a lot of students' minds as they're going through whatever program they're going through, whether it's a hygiene program, whether it's, you know, they're in dental school. But wondering how electronic and digitized dentistry, how incorporating all these things that you both have been talking about, how is that impacting the financial bottom line for dentists, for their practices, for their team? How is that playing into that piece of your practice?
That's another great question. And I think it's even better that a student is already thinking about that. That's very forward thinking. That is this going to be profitable for me? Is this, how's that going to affect my bottom line? Because technology it can be expensive. There are dentists out there that have a lot of toys in their office. I've met general dentists that have a microscope in every single operatory and big, beautiful monitors in every single operatory. You don't have to have all the toys. I would say certainly, number one, decide what your values are and how you're going to practice and if technology can lend itself, can be supportive of your values of how you want to practice. I mean, for me, as I mentioned, long-time care, no-brainer. I had to have technology in the office. Bottom line, absolutely, is positively affected, if I could say it in an easy way. Efficiency is the natural part of the digital workflow in an office. Efficiency, and I think in any workflow, is going to increase profit. We spend less money on impression materials. Using the iTero scanner, for example, to make crowns, it drastically decreases the likelihood of having to remake a crown. We've eliminated the factor of shipping physical impressions to the lab. I can press send on the iTero scanner after I prep Crown, and within 15 minutes, it's going to be at its destination being viewed by a technician. So there's so many ways that technology has increased our financial bottom line, increased our profitability, rather. Just efficiency is hands down always increases profit. When we're able to educate patients using our technology, we teach our patients understand. When patients understand, they're involved in making decisions in their own oral health, and what follows is case acceptance. So you're doing more dentistry. Bottom line, you're more profitable. Not to mention, I mean, patients are really impressed. We love to hear them say, wow, I've never seen that. Or, man, technology, this is amazing. When we're showing them a three-dimensional model of their teeth and how their teeth fit together and how the position of their teeth has contributed to the decline of their teeth. Again, education and case acceptance, those things, they just go hand in hand. So it's certainly worth it.
Well, and I think as well, definitely technology makes us more efficient, which makes us more productive. But there's still a huge part of the dental population that are scared to come to the dentist. It's the last place they want to be. They don't come until they have to. And so a lot of people have bad stories to tell about the dentist because they're waiting till they come in pain. And when we have iTero, we're not having to shove impression material in their mouth. When we can clean their teeth with a Cavitron unit instead of hand scaling and make that uncomfortable for them, I feel like it makes it a much pleasurable, much more comfortable experience for them. They realize that the dentist office does not have to be a scary place. And then they do come back, they return, they bring their family members, they tell their friends, and inevitably that increases production. But it's just nice that it is efficient, but it also helps the patient be comfortable, walk out of here saying, wow, that wasn't that bad, and happy to come back and not scared that every dental visit has to be a bad one.
I got to say, I know, Ashley, your question was like a slow pitch to Mary Jo, who was just waiting to hit the grand slam there with her answer. She's like, I jumped in and answered, but she's just going, wait a minute, I'm going to hit this one out of the park.
And she did. I'm glad. You know, it's interesting how all of this is so intertwined, too. I mean, I you all haven't repeated yourself, but things that, you know, that you've answered, they all just kind of fall into place. And it's interesting how it can just one thing affects the other. And it's great how that happens once you all are doctor, you talked about willing to accept the technology and accept that new phone, the smartphone. What tips do you all have for students that are in dental school or in a hygiene program or studying to be a dental assistant? What are some things that they could focus on while in their programs when it comes to accepting technology and dentistry and not shying away from it? Anything that you, I mean, it's constantly evolving too. So anything that you all, advice that you could give them as far as being open to new things and accepting that technology piece into how they're going to practice?
Definitely. I graduated dental school 7 years ago, and I think that in the last 7 years, as I mentioned, dental school education is probably geared much more highly directed towards the use of technology. Two things I can't do without. Simple answer, a laser and a scanner. I would say that if you're interested in using technology, start with those. See how the laser is used in dentistry. See how the scanner is used in dentistry. You'll find long lists of ways that those two instruments alone are used. I think that I don't even need to complicate that answer, and I'll let Mary Jo take over. But I got to say, you're going to see a laser and you're going to see a scanner in the real world after you graduate. So start focusing on the use of those things.
So when I was in hygiene school 20 years ago and technology was really starting to make its way into the dental office, we had cell phones, but they were all dumb phones at that point. There were no smartphones. So we truly had to be taught the technology, which was fascinating. And we loved it. I feel like most students at this point are inundated with technology. I feel like it's easy for them to just accept it. It's just part of even them growing up. So I would just say roll with it, to learn anything you can about all of the technology out there. There's so much more to what can be involved in technology and dentistry, and to just enjoy the process of learning about all the different types of technology that you can introduce into your office.
That's great. I'm going to flip that a bit, and we may have some listeners that are practicing. And so to that point, what are some continuing education classes or things that have helped you all as you've been practicing? I mean, it's continuous learning is important in any career, and I know it is in both of your careers. So any suggestions on types of courses or continuing education that our audience that are already practicing could or should possibly look into?
Absolutely. I mentioned earlier that I got interested in dentistry because I got braces, and orthodontics was my introduction into dentistry. I thought certainly that as a dental student, I would really focus on orthodontics and focus on specializing. Fortunately, I learned that I loved so many other things about dentistry, and that's what puts me in this general dentist seat today. I will say that after dental school, my education in clear aligner therapy, to be specific, Invisalign is what I do, what I provide for my patients. The education with Invisalign has really just changed my entire perspective on the mouth. When I look at someone's mouth and I see if there's one area of the mouth that is crowded, I know that that area of the mouth is going to be less clean. And I know that that area of the mouth is going to need more dental work. And when I can adopt my education from Invisalign into my discussions with patients and help them to understand that the position of their teeth is so critical to the lifespan of their teeth, then I'm going to end up straightening their teeth for them. And we all know that straighter teeth live longer. So I would say that start focusing on clear aligner therapy. Start with Invisalign. There's fantastic courses out there. There's amazing, amazing resources out there, from introductory courses to advanced. Every time I open a patient's mouth to do an exam, now the first thing I'm seeing is the forest instead of the trees. I'm seeing the whole mouth, and I'm seeing the position of the teeth and how that position has contributed to those conditions inside. I did not have that perspective as a dental student. I did not have that perspective the first few years out of dental school, and my Invisalign education has certainly changed the way that I practice. Highly recommend it.
I think there are so many ways now to get your continuing education, and being dentist and dental hygienist, we're always wanting to get those continuing education hours that we need, you know, out of the way for the year. But there's so many great ways, classes that you can take through different providers and different products that offer continuing ed. But I would also say, go further than just the continuing education courses. YouTube is great. I have YouTubed a ton of things to just learn more about how other people use the technology, how they're using it in their practice, different methods. And it's very helpful to not just learn about it, then to move forward and practice it. And sometimes just, you know, watching some videos and stuff like that is extremely helpful.
That's a great point, Mary Jo, about YouTube. I mean, literally, you could find anything out there. But just looking up things that you're already using and different ways to incorporate that. I like that. That's great. So any final thoughts from either one of you that you'd like to add? This has been so enjoyable. I've learned a lot and wanted to know anything that you all wanted to add.
Thanks so much, Ashley. I've had a great time too. And at times when I'm not sure of what I'm saying or if I'm making sense, I look up to the screen and I see you nodding your head with a grin. And I'm going, I think I'm making sense if Ashley's nodding. Yes. For those that are just only listening, maybe they're nodding their heads going, yeah, I get it. So I definitely have some advice. I loved being a student. I really did. And I will say most certainly, learning never, ever, ever stops. Dental school gets you ready enough to go out there into the real world and practice. As students, we're so, so focused on the technical. We're so focused on when is our next exam? What is the minimum score I got to make to get from this test to the next, to get from this week to the next? And especially as we're finishing dental school, we're just inundated with all these checklists, with board exams and all of these things that you forget to take a step back. If we could literally count the number of test questions that it took to get you to the finish line and graduate, how many test questions did you have to answer correctly to graduate? It would be amazing. And you should all be patting yourselves on the back for, number one, getting into dental school. Number two, getting through dental school and getting to that finish line. You deserve to land on your feet as soon as possible after graduation. You deserve to land in a place where you really love dentistry, where you love using your skills and you love learning, you love taking care of patients. Whatever it is that you intend to use your passion for dentistry, you deserve to land in that position as soon as possible. So don't settle for less. You know, my advice would be to sample a few flavors if you have to, but don't settle for working in a spot where you're not happy. Find your place where you're going to be happy being a dentist because you deserve it. You've worked hard enough, and get out there and make a difference.
Absolutely.
Great advice.
Yeah. Congratulations to you all that are in dental school. We clearly all know the hard work it takes to get there and stay there. And when you get out, just you're going to be a great dentist. I would just say, connect with your patients. They're coming to you for a service. They don't want to be there most of the time. And if you can just get to know them as a person and connect with them, it'll be huge for you and your patients to just give them a healthy smile, give them teeth that they can eat with. And yeah, just in the end, you know, it's just about taking care of people.
It really is. And we've had awesome. There's another slow pitch to Mary Jo who hit it out of the park. It's just that theme is what we discuss quite a bit in our office meetings. You know, we are in effect, we are a customer service organization who happens to provide the service of dentistry. So connect with your customer. You got to set yourself apart by connecting with the people that are in your chair. Amen.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. It's been great discussing these things with both of you. And I love to see how the connection with you two also, that just that natural chemistry that I think it's so apparent in the way you answer questions and how you work together and describe your practice and how you're incorporating technology into the practice and working with patients. So it's just really nice to see. So I appreciate you both taking the time to join me for the podcast. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us and hope that you will tune in next time. So thank you both, Dr. Thibodeau and Mary Jo. Really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed that episode and talking with Dr. Thibodeau and Mary Jo and talking about technology and dentistry. I thought numerous things made me chuckle throughout the interview, but Dr. Thibodeau talking about he was a late adopter of technology, talking about how he didn't want to have a smartphone and he was probably one of the last people to have a phone that didn't have the technology that we're all used to today. And to now think of where he is, and technology is a huge piece in how he practices dentistry. It was really cool to hear that evolution and how he's really obviously adopted it.
There you go. It's always good to be either early or late bloomer. So I guess he's a late bloomer for technology. Very good stuff for him.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter when you adopt it, but he adopted it, right?
And embraced it.
Yes.
And he embraced the change. Absolutely. I have to say, even my mom, I mean, my mom is one of the late adopters of technology. And I'm like, Mom, we need to update your phone. And she's like, but I like this one. And it finally, we took her to, she finally got an iPhone. And this is a couple years ago. And we took her to an iPhone class for seniors. And it was so awesome that they actually taught like my mom how to like use like what like apps to use. And she like now she texts and she like puts stuff on Facebook. And I'm like, look at you. Oh my gosh, Mom. She's 75 years old and she is like on Facebook and social media. I'm like, very cool. It's so awesome.
Have you introduced her to Instagram yet, Kathy?
Let's not go there. I mean, right, it took us we'll years just to get her right, to-
Ashley, that was good stuff from Dr. Thibodeau. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. And Vincent, looking forward to the next episode that you'll be hosting, Podcast Throwback. So can't wait to hear your next episode.
Yes, we're featuring some of our previous hosts, and I'm really excited about that because they're really going to, it's kind of like a deja vu to some degree. So we're going to hear our former guest to share some of the highlights of previous episodes. So let's get that. I'm excited for that. Really am.
I am too. Looking forward to that episode. Thanks, Vincent. See you next time.
See you next time.
You can listen to new episodes of the Impactful Wisdom Podcast every other week when you subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. Dental students, get your free guide, 10 Steps to a Successful Dental Career, at ImpactfulWisdomPodcast.com. There, you'll also be able to connect in every way with your favorite dental podcast hosts, the Heartland Dental Campus team.